bathroom and wiping. The white doctors had it.
Well, how did Susie Cheatham get his name then?
They wanted to use my sister's name for the place.
Oh, Susie Cheatham was your sister?
My sister.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was my sister.
Oh. How old were your sister when it was named after her? Do you have any idea? Was she a grown girl or young girl?
Oh, yeah, she was in her 20s.
She was? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that was an outstanding thing to name a hospital after your sister.
Yeah.
How did they manage to come about? They asked, could it be named after her?
Well, the land was given by my father hospital.
Oh, okay. Your father gave you that land.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mr. Cousin when that was taken about?
Yeah, actually, but I'm not up on it in Deacon's Church, you know. Or I knew something of it, but I didn't keep up with the business part of town like I should have. The main thing I know that he gave some land and the name was after his daughter, but I don't know all the details.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the doctors wanted to name it that.
Okay.
And they didn't want us to be up there at Granville Hospital.
Uh-huh.
At least it wasn't called Granville at that time.
Uh-huh.
It became Granville after the government got into it and made it a consolidated institution.
Uh-huh. Can y'all tell me about the different buggy factories and the Hubbacott factories and what blacks worked in those? And was Mr. Field a former one of these Hubbacott factories here? Buggy factories?
He was a foreman in Taylor County.
He was what?
He was a blacksmith in Taylor County Buggy Company.
He was the blacksmith in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he became a cop. Then he became a builder.
Did Jack Hicks and Peter Owens never run the first blacksmith shop here in Salty Dog? You ever heard of those guys?
Lonnie Hicks.
Lonnie Hicks.
Yeah. Lonnie Hicks and
Peter Owens.
Peter Owens was one of his men, but I'm trying to think of who the sixth partner was now. That place was right behind Spoongood place.
Mr. Claus, mm-hmm. Can you remember where the first post office was at when you come to Oxford?
I mean, we love it. It's somewhere along there.
I seen a picture of the library where the first post office right there where K Park Cleaners in between that where that water fountain is.
Well, that's where it was. Mm-hmm. But they moved it down on Main Street.
Yeah. Can you remember that, Mr. Cousin?
Yeah, before? I remember when on Main Street. I can remember before they moved it, but I just couldn't keep it all around.
Can you remember who helped build that post office? Did any blacks help build that the post office when they moved it?
The present building now that belongs to the church is the first government post office they had.
Uh-huh.
Government-owned building.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me, did blacks help work for the government to build that post office when they were building it, Mr.
Chairman? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what part was done particularly, but it was in tenants and Victory and all, he worked on it.
Yeah. We had seen better than all that, Negro.
Did blacks have an apartment or a hotel like where the orphanage theater is now in Oxford? Mr. Cousin, can you remember that, you and Mr. Cheatham? Was there ever a hotel or a house across the street over there from where the meat market was that blacks lived? of Williamsburg Street?
No.
Did Mr. Kennedy ever have a jewelry store on that street?
Yeah.
Where was his jewelry store at?
His jewelry store was down there by City Hall, I believe. In that building before the town took over.
Did we ever have a black lawyer in Oxford?
We had a couple of lawyers here, yes.
Did they practice law in Oxford? You ever heard of a lawyer, any black practicing law in Oxford? I knew the Tanners practiced law in Durham, but you ever heard of any practicing law in Oxford?
No, Mr. Campbell was from here. He was from Grand County, and he practiced here a while, and he had a brother that was a juror.
You ever heard of that, Mr. Cousin?
No, I don't know. I know Miss Kennedy was from Pushing Pine or from Grandma County, but I can't name no lawyer that I know right now that practice lawyer.
Do you remember when the water, when the well was in the center of town?
Yeah, I remember that. Because I remember before they put in the shoes down on the driveway.
Uh-huh.
I remember when they had
Carmel. They had cobblestone.
I remember when they had these lights set up and had to go out on the light on one pole.
Well, who used to do that? Was it Mr. Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rufus, yeah.
What?
Rufus, yeah.
Rufus Guy. Was he a black man or a white man?
No, he was a black man. Yeah.
How did he do it? Light him in the moon at night?
Yeah, go down the evening and pull him down and light him.
And then come back next morning and pull him out?
Yeah, I guess he did. I don't remember where I was going, but I know where he didn't like him.
Well, tell me about when they started putting string electric wires in this town. Were blacks help putting that working for them?
Oh, yeah, Albright done all that.
Albright?
Yeah.
Albert Albright?
Albert Albright. Jim Cooper.
Was Jim Cooper related to Meta Cooper?
Miss Cooper's husband.
What did she do?
She was a cafe operator at that time.
Mr. Cousin, did you remember Miss Cooper?
Yeah, well enough.
Huh?
Yeah.
Can you tell me anything about Miss Cooper? What type of business lady was she?
Well, she was supposed to be a pretty good business lady. See, her mother was a operator of a business. Meeting business.
Uh-huh. Did they build their own restaurant, or was already built and they rented the building from
somewhere? Well, they did, I think, but she built a household there on McCallaghan Street, you know.
Well, Dr. Hicks on Mrs. Hicks.
Uh-huh. Did Albert Albright and Jim Cooper, who else worked with them? Did Ed Jones work with them?
Yeah. No, Ed was with the, telephone people.
Ed Jones was the first man black to work with a telephone company.
No, he wasn't the first.
Who was the first black you ever know?
Several went there during the same time Ed was there.
Okay, who else was there besides Ed Jones?
Hammy.
Who?
What was Hammy's name?
Hammy.
Yeah, he was one of the Robert Shepard's first job, and he took over.
Mr. Hammond was the first man to die?
No.
What do you mean, first job? Oh, Hammond put the first telephone in Robert Shepard's building.
No, he was,
Lonnie Hammond's brother.
Yeah,
Lonnie's
brother.
Uh-huh.
Jack
Hammond. Yeah. Lonnie
Hammond. Jack was the one I had reference to.
Yeah, he was near him.
Yeah, he went, then he went from there to New York. He was killed in New York.
What did Jack and Lonnie Hammer do? What kind of work did they do?
Lonnie was a telephone man.
Okay, all these guys worked on a telephone.
Yeah, Lonnie.
Jack, Ed Jones.
Ed Jones and Lonnie.
How did blacks learn back that day and time, Mr. Cousin, the skills to work for the telephone company? You and Mr. Cheatham, how did they come about learning that kind of work?
Well, I tell you, probably, you used to say stole probably, but it's from experience, you know, mostly.
Oh, working along with whites and watching them.
Yeah, that's mostly where he got in, but he got to the point, hadn't gotten to the point that some of them were studied for it. But that wasn't as frequent in their practice.
Now we had engineers, old companies, that took on to the skill of Negroes.
Uh-huh. Do you and Mr. Cheatham, Mr. Cousin, do y'all consider this history? I'm asking you these questions about these different black people and their role and duties and jobs they have done in this county. Is this what makes history, and this what should be brought out and should be told?
Well, that's the only way you get history.
That's the only way we can find it.
Well, it's a thing like that. Sometimes the most common thing is makes big history, because it hasn't been known or hasn't been thought of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just like it was 9 seconds. I don't mean to be consuming time, but you take my great-grandfather. He was born a slave. And somehow, I don't know how he got it, but he used to put him on a block himself.
Uh-huh.
But he sold him and he bought himself. That freed him, because you couldn't own a slave unless you were a citizen of the county, of the state. When he bought himself, now how he got the money, I don't know, but through some of the white people, you see, that like they are now, some of them like them. But he bought himself about 1860, somewhere like that. That's when he came to Howard Town and married old man Howard's daughter, about 1820.
He came to Oxford.
Yeah, how? You see, they had patrols to watch the Negroes at that time, running, going to different places. But after he bought himself, then he was free to go where he wanted.
Uh-huh.
So he had his horse, and he rode. He knew how our town was free.
Uh-huh.
He rode from Roxburgh, Rhode Island, but near Rock, 6 miles of Roxburgh, down here, and corresponded with that lady, and then he married.
Oh, Granville County was a free slave county.
No, Howard Town was.
Because the own blacks owned the town.
Owned a little place over there. That was Howard Town. I call it Daniel Granville from Howard Town.
And that's where your great-grandfather came?
That's where he came and married the first boy. I don't have any nothing, but that was in 20.
What kind of work did he do after he got here?
You see, after that he went back to Pershing County and bought a farm. Right, I don't know if he bought it before then or not, but he had about 60 acres of land. Then he bought himself. He didn't cost much, about 2 slaves or 3 slaves. And he was a farmer. And when Lee surrendered him, he sold that farm to DeLong in Roxburgh. And then in 1868, he had a brother in Old Howe. He got with him some more with him. And then they had what they call a mule train. They drove from Roxburgh to Old Howe. And that's where he stayed in the Cedar Grove Baptist Church over there. That was a very interesting thing. I was on the chairman of the trustee board at Cedar Grove. And the first school was built there, was right joining it. The county surveyed off an acre of land for the Negroes. That's when my dad and his uncle built a school there. But when they done away with that school and they integrated, they sold that acre of land to the church. The church had a deed for it, but this acre and a half or 3 acres, what they had over here, Curtin had given. They didn't have no deed, so they wanted the deed for it. And I got together and they asked me to two more to me and went to Roxburgh. And I searched the record down in the courthouse and all, I couldn't find them. So there was a lawyer over there, and we went over there to see him. He said, oh yeah, I knew old man Curtin. And I knew all.
Old man Curtin was your dad or your granddad?
Yeah, my dad was Curtin, and granddaddy and uncles and all was there. They had them Curtin. So he said, we told him what we wanted. So you can't find no deed of it. Then he said, how long? That had, at that time, that was in 1950. Had 80-some years before that. He said, well, I'll tell you, you don't need no deed. He said, been in the church's hands for 80-some years. Now, he said, if anybody have a dispute, let him go and find his deed, find his corner. And all that's in there and no corner to it, that belongs to the church. The church don't have to wear it.
So that's where they sell that?
That's what they sell. If anybody bring up anything against them, let him find his corner.
Did your great-grandfather, you or Mr. Cheatham, did they ever tell you about John Chambers?
Yeah, I heard about Cheatham. They have more on John Chambers than I did, but...
You tell me something about what you heard about it.
Well, I don't know. I'm not clear on how, because I know he was... I've been to see John Chambers Park in Raleigh. See, he was really honored in Raleigh, but I'm not able to give a history of it.
Mr. Cheatham, can you tell me a little bit about John Chambers? Was he originally from Oxford, or was he born in Oxford? Where was his church? Whereabouts?
He was born up here near Sideway Shop.
Well, was
it
that far out?
Huh?
I said, was it that far out?
Well, I mean...
Was it up at Salloway Shop, or was it Providence? Was it out at Providence, in that area?
Well, I think
he didn't. Well, he went to Providence after he became grown.
But you say he was born up at Salloway Shop, in that area?
Somewhere in that.
That's what he said, huh?
Yeah, somewhere in that area. Because the chief came up here. I get a lot of media. That's why the native home was up in there around Saturday or somewhere.
He was Major's granddad, I believe.
Yeah. But he had a lot of prestige to him. You know, his name, I don't know, he done lots of things, and his name went so broad.
Did he ever work over at Horner School? Did Mr. Major ever tell you he worked over at Horner School in Oxford? Did he ever teach in Oxford, help set up the school system here in Oxford, Mr. Cheatham? You ever heard of that?
Major Chambers?
No, John Chambers.
Yeah, he was one of the first teachers in Granville County.
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Can you tell me whereabouts or what area he first started teaching in Granville County?
He and old man Horner started out here in what's the name of the church now? The White Church is about 3.5 miles.
Hester Grove?
No.
No, yes, Hunter. I mean,
Kenner Falk out that way?
No.
Zion.
Yeah,
Big Zion.
Big Zion.
Oh, Big Zion out here in Huntsboro.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where they started at.
Yeah, both. They started the two schools. And both of them worked together. That was Colonel Horner, I believe. And Colonel and found the medical marijuana.
Did y'all hear, can you tell me something else they, you heard that they said about John Javis? Well, did he have a wife, or did he have children, or?
I don't know
what size
family
he had.
I've never
gotten
into that part of it.
Yeah, somebody had, I don't know if I really did find it. They had write up in books with John Javis, I mean. But
yeah,
I don't know. Who read
enough? You've got a copy of that from the cabinet statement.
Yeah, what else can you tell me about Harrisburg down in that area, Harrisburg Cemetery? Why did blacks have a graveyard down there? Who gave the land and how did it once get started? Can you remember when it wasn't a graveyard down there, Mr. Cousin? All your life it was a graveyard down there?
As I say, you know, I don't know too much about the business part of Rockford until after 1910.
Uh-huh.
But all I know is there's always been a Harrisburg Cemetery.
What about you, Mr. Cheever?
Same thing.
Was that property in your family or the orphanage owned that property? Who once owned that property? Who owned that property? You heard, ever heard?
The Hunters owned where cemetery was set up.
The Herndon?
Yeah.
They were white. They donated that land to the blacks.
Yeah, that was the banker lived in the Hunt man's daughter.
Uh-huh. Henry Hunt married the Herndon's daughter.
He married the Herndon's daughter.
Oh. What black do you feel like had the most property in this city, in the area? Did the Riddlers were the largest property owners around here in the town?
No, it's a whole lot of families that's gone on that didn't remember any history.
Uh-huh.
They owned a whole lot of land.
Particularly in the town of Rockford, it's kind of fun, but if you get out in the rural, it could kind of strange, but just in the city business, just in the Oxford Township.
Yeah, I'm interested in Oxford Township.
Yeah.
How did Peacetown get its name? You ever heard of how the Peacetown got its name over in that area? An area called Peacetown?
Yeah, Manhattan Peace bought and built it up. Several houses over there and they called it Peace. Now, I don't know what it was before that. It was some kind of theater, but.
It was mostly white before Ellen got in there, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was, but I know. And Ellen, boy, he built up several houses and they called it Peace.
I know the Green family was the oldest family back then. And Negroes back in this area at that time.
What about the Greens? Can you tell me a little about the Greens?
Yeah, Mrs. Davis's folks.
What about Grandpa? You ever heard how Grandpa got his name, or why they call it Grandpa?
Section set up. I've never known any direct history on it.
I haven't either. I mean, all I ever know was Jabbo. I don't know why. That's Brownstown. Old came from something happened. Some name. Brown.
Well, Brownstown was a white neighborhood at one time. That's how it got its name, from the white Browns.
But can y'all tell me about Lynch's Hill? How did that come about?
Well, that's in the same thing that we're talking about now.
Oh.
You see, that was one of the Lincoln corn.
You ever heard of any blacks being lynched up there, Mr. Cousin, in your time, during the time you was running out?
No, I don't think they lynched me on that since I was.
It was done before that time.
Can y'all give me a little information on the anniversary they used to have in an orphanage and why they had anniversary?
Yes, they had the same thing the whites were having there. It was reparation for the people, and that was the biggest day in that time. Both races, and the biggest day that the Negroes in Illinois.
In this county, or the whole state, or
statewide.
That was a statewide affair.
That was a statewide affair.
And that should be recorded in history.
Yeah.
This should be recorded in my book that I'm attempting to write or put together. The largest statewide event was held at the Central Orphanage in Oxford.
You know where that monument is, like that on the old office there.
Uh-huh.
Well, that'll give you the dates.
Okay.
That'll give you the dates.
And they called it the anniversary day.
Yeah.
And people come from everywhere.
Yeah, all over the state.
Excursion train is coming.
A train?
Excursion.
Yeah, we had excursion. By both railroad companies, the Southern and Seaboard. South Carolina, from South Carolina through state into Virginia.
Can you tell me about some of the speakers that used to speak there other than your father and Mr. Shepherd and
Yeah.
Who were some of the speakers would talk on that day? What would they talk about?
We had several of the governors back years ago to speak there on that day.
Did you have anybody from North Carolina Mutual to come over and speak? Any of those people? Kennedy, anybody?
Oh, we had Kennedy come and Merritt come, all of them.
How many days would the affair last?
It could have lasted a month. As many folks as a year.
Everybody come all over the state just for one day event.
Yeah.
All over the state, and Negroes out of the state as well.
Yeah.
We had over 5,000 here one year from New York.
How'd you feed them?
Well, you know, they had every kind of table and
the people had rented the place.
Well, Oxford was one of the historic towns in North Carolina then.
Sure.
Oxford is older than Durham is.
Oxford is older than Durham.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It was Oxford. I had my dad say he went to Durham when the woman was two children.
Your father went to Durham when the woman was two stores?
Yeah. Just like a crossroad almost.
And Oxford is older than Durham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why they put two railroad tracks in Oxford? Was it was the plan to be a big city and didn't ever to materialize or what?
Well, you see, only south of two here. And the Seaboard wanted to connect in because they weren't far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of was business. They didn't know it had always had a pretty good back factor in there. Yeah.
Do you think Oxford older than Roxborough?
And Oxford runs about the same.
It ain't much different, because I was born around Oxford. It ain't much different.
You want to tell me a little bit about the church histories in Oxford, where they were located, they moved, and what was the first church ever formed in Oxford? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I don't know back to that, but I can tell you where the first white Baptist church down the road. And our church was built, set up after that time. That was on Front Street.
Can y'all tell me any more historic things, that places and things that taken away? What about Dr. Shaw? You want to go back, Mr. Cousin? Can y'all go back and tell me about how Dr. Shaw got to Oxford and how he bought the land from Mr. Taylor over there on Taylor's, over there on that hill? Or how did he come about? Can you tell me about?
Well, he and his brother were together at that time. He came here as a young man from Lincoln University and set up a school. So he set up there for him. And he left his brother here to run the school.
Well, did they ever tell you how he got the money to buy the land?
Oh, by Everton Bowl.
And this school was set up for the Presbyterian school?
Yeah.
And this was for kids to come from all over the United States to come to Oxford to school?
Yeah.
And the Presbyterian church, this was a private school?
Yeah.
The first private school that the Presbyterian church had in the South? Or in the whole?
Wasn't the first, because I think it was one in Lewisburg at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I think this was the head of Savage Franklin.
Uh-huh. And this school, kids come from all over the country?
All over the country.
To Mary Potter School?
Yeah.
To learn?
Yeah.
And this was a great school Dr. Shaw built here?
Yeah, he and his brother built it, and he left his brother here to operate while with Miss Shaw, he was in school.
Mr. Cousin, I want you to tell me why that no monument or something haven't been named after Dr. Shaw, or some building or street or something. Do you think he deserves something like that? Or why they didn't do something for Dr. Shaw? Yeah, he built the school here. He educated half of this county. It was very important to have that school here.
Well, I tell you, they had something named with it. May I go to this? It wasn't enough interested in the Black League at that time to sponsor things like that. You see, they talk about it, and that's as far as they go. You see, to do things like that, you had to have some prestige and some money too. But, you know, they had a school and store, Shaw Memorial, and had several things set up, but it didn't last long.
And one in Fairport, too.
Mm-hmm. Had what in Fairport?
Presbyterian School, Branch of Murphy.
In Fairport?
Yeah.
Who was the principal down in Fairport of that school?
The lady, I forget her name now.
Can you name some people that's living there that taught school down there?
Yeah.
Can you think of some who?
The Peace family was connected with that school. And then they were connected with the school after it became a county school.
What's your feeling about why something have been named after Dr. Shaw that's still here, a monument, or some street, or building, or something? Why? What do you think, Mr. Cheetah? Don't you think he deserves some?
I know he does. Yeah, but the folks didn't think about it in time to get it started, that's all.
Well, look at John Chavers as a historic man, what he did for this county and everybody across the country, doctors and lawyers.
Dr. Shaw took that up and started that.
Why? But
nobody has started anything for he and my father.
Nobody have started anything for John Chavers nor your father?
No.
What's your father?
Dr. Shaw. I said, Dr. Shaw.
Dr. Shaw did what?
I said, nobody has, Dr. Shaw started a program on John Chavers.
Uh-huh.
But nobody's ever taken and enlarged and brought him into the life of history. And the same way with my father.
Nobody's never brought your father into the life history?
No.
Now, what was your father's name, full name?
Henry Plummetier.
What year was he born?
1856, I believe.
And your father was in the Congress?
Yeah.
He was a registered deed man. He was a superintendent of
orphans. He was one of the founder of the orphans, too.
And no monument, no street, or no building is named after your father here in this town?
No.
Why? They haven't fought and pushed for that.
Well, that's because nobody pushed for it, that's all.
Mr. Cousin, what's your thinking on
well,
this?
I told you, but sadly, there's nobody pressed it, you know. They get out here on the corner of the street and talk about it, and that's as far as we go. When you come back to the showdown, you see nobody's trying to get to the right. And then I tell you another thing. It's a little bit easier now, but it's been a hard proposition to put something like that through. Of course, the Aldrich Rays didn't want you to do it. They'd put a stumbling block in the middle for somebody to hit them through.
Oh, they will always put a stumbling block in the way every time they try to...
Yeah, because you have something, you know, that would hinder. Instead of press forward or put to it. And you see, the Black Rays didn't have the finance. They had mouth, but they didn't have the finance and the prestige among the other races to get much of that over. Now you see, you're getting some books and things out now about different people. But long in those days, you know, all you hear about it was what somebody was standing on and talk about. They'd talk about it. But it didn't get out in print.
As a young man like me, what can I do to push and pressure? Would you like to see me push hard to try to bring these things about and get something done about this? Do you think there should be some brought out in history, some monuments and things about John Chavis and Mr. Cheatham, Plumber Cheatham, and these people in Granville County, streets or monuments or something?
Well, those things would be fine now. But here the fool, you know, you would have had a hindrance to the block you, but he won't do it now. He'll help you now.
Is it too late, or should it still be carried out?
It couldn't be too late.
It's never too late. History, no. Okay.
Yeah. Early you can get it is late, but it's never too late.
And you still think something should be done?
Well, certainly, because, you know, the young people that's coming on don't know now. We older people can, as I said, you know, have go out and talk on the streets about it and all like that. But the younger race that's coming on and studying history and all like that, they don't know anything about it. And they'll know less if somebody don't put something in paper and writing or print somewhere that they need, because the younger race is more necessary for them than it was for us, because we knew of it by hearing and by seeing the action. But they didn't know it, and if they don't hear it, they won't know it.
Mr. Cheatham, what you got to tell me, what you think? Is it too late, or do you think it still should be pushed on?
I think he expressed his thoughts, and I can't make it any better, because it's really needed. It's a length in history that has been despised and not used.
It's more necessary right now than it was when it happened.
Why do you think it's more necessary now, Mr. Cousin?
Because the history leads you back what has happened. You see, and even the scripture, that's one of the backgrounds of the scripture, tell you what has happened, not what's going to happen. And you already know what happened, but what has happened. You see, and I had some history of it. These younger people who I come on don't know, you might sum up plenty of them right now, college graduates, and you tell them some things that happened back there on 75, 100 years ago, and say, what? I didn't know it. you see, because it has no history in it. See, now the only time you can put it in history because it had no chance to put it in before.
Okay, I want to ask you, Mr. Cheatham, if we're going to name four things, I'm going to name four things and we want to see is just the most important or some of the most important things about Oxford should be recorded. Number one, we'll say John Chambers. Do y'all agree with me there? Okay. Number two, the Central Orphanage by it taking in kids all across the state of North Carolina, and it's still here. That is one of the most prestigious historic sites in the state of North Carolina, located in Oxford.
Yeah.
Will you go along with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the next thing, Murray Potter School, by it educating people all the way across the country, and it did a great job to the students and children in Oxford, and right here in North Carolina has some of the finest teachers. Would you think, say that's one of the most important things?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay, and next thing is Congressman Cheatham, that was in Congressman. That should be one of our points to focus
yeah,
on.
Oh, yeah. That's the history part. That's the early history part.
Do you know, Mr. Cousin, we do not have all that recorded and written and putting together in a book form where children can read about it?
That's what I know. That's what I'm saying. I say, you see, that's more history than what's happening now. What's happening now ain't history, it'll be history years to come. That's why that's so essential, like, that should be put in to let even you or myself could pick up something that happened 150, 200 years ago. But just like I was telling you about my great-grandfather, like that when he was a slave boy himself. See? Well now, they knew it years ago, but now who knew what it was now?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So those things are essential.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I think it would be a great help if there was some books and some libraries had those things in them, it would be a great help.
We don't have this in Oxford in no library.
That's what I said. I said, but if there were some of those books in the library, it would be so much help. The observation would be surprised to know the things that the black man had done. You'd be surprised.
Do you understand that's why I'm here today interviewing you to talk about what the black man had done in life?
Uh-huh.
So I will know about it and can read about it and pass it on.
Yeah, that's right. But even you don't know it until you get some hearsay about it. What? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, those that came on along then, they know all about it, but they didn't print it.
Didn't put it in print.
No.
They didn't have no way, did they, Mr. Cheatham?
No. They had more hindrance than they had help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the Negro have done a great work. I remember Mr. John Green used to be the principal up there at the British school.
John Green?
Yeah.
Was he a black man?
Yeah, you know, him and I was in the third grade when he came to school. He was working for a man of that Montague. Well, he was much older than me. Much older.
Uh-huh.
But Montague got interested in him and he let him during the school year, I got to do that school my daddy and them did. He let him attend school in the winter to feed his horses and take care of things and feed him. Because he worked with him in the summer. And he, I just remember a little poem he had, the teacher told him, and he said, and he was 20-some years old.
Can you recite that poem?
Yeah.
What's the recited for?
He told me it's very short. He said, from the cook pot to the Senate, all that's done in Negro. You see?